Did you know that your biggest competitor is not another coach? It's not another business. Very often, it's complacency. And today, I want to talk with you about how to help people get across the finish line towards what they want to achieve, even when they think things are pretty good. Hey, welcome to the Healthpreneur Show. I'm Uriel Kaim, CEO and founder of Healthpreneur. You are listening to this because you are a health professional or coach who is committed and driven to growing a successful virtual practice or coaching business online. In these episodes, I'm going to give you the best of the best when it comes to marketing, sales, mindset, business growth in general to help you achieve those goals. So without any further ado, let's dive right in. We help health professionals build scalable coaching businesses that transform our lives. And part of the reason why we do what we do is because we believe the medical system is broken. It's not a model. It's not a system that helps people get well. It enforces and reinforces people getting sick and sucking the life out of the world because of that. And we're on a mission to help amazing health professionals and coaches do things differently, get to the root cause of their clients' issues or their patients' issues to help empower them to better health, to better quality of lives. But the problem in this process is that a lot of people think that things are okay. Things are pretty good. And I've talked about this a lot in this hashtag winning series, is living in the modern world, living in the Western world has a lot of amazing benefits, but it also has a lot of cons. Sometimes it's very advantageous to be in a really painful situation because you have no alternative other than to change. But when things are okay, when things are comfortable, when life is decent, well, there's not a lot of fire under our ass to do anything with that, to do anything about it. So I want to give you a couple examples, and I want to share with you how I would approach having conversations with clients or prospective clients about why what they're currently dealing with is not okay. So one of our clients helps parents whose kids have diabetes, and a couple of the conversations that we've had and kind of reviewing her conversations with them is that a lot of these parents think that it's okay for their kids to be dealing with this. Like, here's a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old and they've had diabetes for a year, 5 years, 10 years. And like, you know, in reviewing some of these calls, I'm just looking at the parents and I'm like, number one, they are not the model of health. They're overweight. You can tell they don't have their shit together. But they actually, you can see it in their body language and their facial expressions. It's like they don't think it's that big of a deal. So you have, again, what arguably is a very manageable and reversible condition, yet is 100% self-induced, right? Let's be honest, type 2 diabetes, right? But then you have people that are just like, that's not that big of a deal. I've also had clients who have reviewed calls, because that's part of what I help them do, is get better in these conversations so they can ultimately help people transform their life. So reviewing a couple calls with one client who helps women over 40 lose weight, and two calls come to mind where both prospects needed to lose 75 pounds, right? 70 to 75 pounds-ish, and ultimately not moving forward. And I want to just put aside like the very valid concern that some people have, which is, I don't think your solution can work, right? I don't see the value in this, which is a very valid concern and obstacle objection to deal with. I want to just put that aside for a second. What I want to focus on is the fact that these women, in this particular case, think it's okay to be 75 pounds overweight. Because in one case, one of them said, you know what, we decided we're not going to move forward with this because we're doing kitchen renovations. I'm like, you knew you were doing kitchen renovations before the call. So why have the call? We had a conversation recently with someone who was doing fairly well in business. And this individual talked a lot about potential and wanting to reach, you know, their potential. And when I look at that, I ask myself, well, what really motivates people to change? Is it potential or is it pain and problem in current situation? The answer is obvious. So what I want to share with you here is, how do you have a conversation with people that stirs up discomfort, that creates a bigger problem than they think they have? So there's two ways of looking at this. One is, you have, if we think of a spectrum, on one side of the spectrum, you have someone who has debilitating pain. They are very viscerally associated to the pain they're going through. They're 100 pounds overweight. They have, you know, knee pain, hip pain, back pain, tennis elbow. They know they need to get out of this situation. It's objectively a pain in the ass, and subjectively to them, it's not okay. These individuals, not all of them, but a higher percentage perhaps, are willing to do something about it because they're in a shitty situation. And the higher the degree of perceived pain relative to the pain of perceived change, the more likely someone is to say yes. Now, on the other side of the spectrum is you've got people who they're doing okay. Maybe they've had a condition for a while. Maybe they've just come to terms with the fact that it's not that bad. Maybe, let's say in our case, their business is doing okay and they think that that's good enough. And what I encourage my clients or our clients to step into is as coaches is to challenge people based on their standards. In life, you don't get what you want. You get what you are willing to tolerate. And so for someone to tolerate being 75 pounds overweight, in my eyes, is unacceptable. And I'm not here to get into the whole conversation around big is beautiful and all that kind of stuff. That's whatever. But from a health perspective, there is no argument you can make to me or to anyone who understands the human body to say, you have 75 extra pounds of fat, visceral fat around all of your major organs, all of that stuff. There is no argument you can make to say that there, in any world in which we live, that that is remotely healthy. That, I think we're all on the same page with that, okay? So I'm not here to fat shame. I'm not here to do that stuff. I'm just here to say, if you are largely overweight and it's pretty obvious, then that, like, why are we settling for that? And so what I love about coaching is the ability to challenge people from a place of love to say, like, are you okay with that? And I know this is hard. Like, this is hard to ask people, right? Some of our clients actually help with migraine headaches. And one of them in particular, he was mentioned that a bunch of the people that he speaks with are having migraines on a daily basis, every other day, for years. So my question is, like, to them, like, do you think it's normal to suffer from migraines on a daily basis? Do you think that's a normal process of the human body? And the answer is no. And so what I'm trying to get at here is think about how you can ask your prospects or your clients on the inside, and I'll give you an example of that in a second, ask them questions that get them to question whether their situation is actually normal or considered okay or even remotely healthy. Because what that does is it changes their perception of what they're going through. I've had conversations with people doing $1 million per month in their business. And I've asked them the question, like, how do you get up in the morning? They might be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, why are we talking in the first place, right? You're making $1 million a month. Something's working well, but there's obviously a problem, right? And here's the deal. So I want to talk a little more specifically about people who feel that things are pretty good. Pretty, pretty, pretty good. And these are the tough nuts to crack sometimes. And this is where I love having conversations. So the two ways of doing this. One is you push them away. Number two is you challenge them. So let's use the example of someone who is overweight. Let's just use that as an example, okay? And I'm talking like not 5 pounds, but let's look at 100 pounds overweight where it's very black and white obvious. This is not healthy. So you're 100 pounds overweight and like what else have you tried in the past? How long has this been going on for? And what makes you feel that what you've been doing isn't enough? And why do you feel now is the time for you to do something about it? And they're going to say all this stuff. Now, here's the key thing I want you to pay attention to. It's not what people say, it's what they mean. Because here's when you're on a Zoom call and you're seeing someone, you can pick up a lot in their unspoken communication, their body language, their facial expressions. And you'll get a sense like, you know, like as an example, they might say, well, yeah, like I think it'd be good to do something about it. And like, I think this would be useful. And it's like, you think? And get like, if you feel any hesitation or uncertainty there, like you got to call that out. You got to call out the elephant in the room. Because if you don't, it's going to trample you in the sense of they get to the end of the call and then they're going to say stuff like, this all sounds great. I just want to think about it. And then you get the email afterwards that says, thanks so much for your time, but I decided I'm going to stay fat or broke or whatever it is. So by bringing the unspoken truth to the surface, we can actually have the real conversation. So again, let's just go back to the person who's overweight. Again, 100 pounds overweight here. And we're saying, we're just not getting the sense that this person really actually wants to do anything about it. Like you can just pick up on the vibe, or they're just giving you really vague answers that there's no emotion, there's no emotional charge around it. So if you're sensing this in the conversation, here's what I would do. I would pause, just a very awkward pause at whatever point in the conversation you feel is right. Mr. Prospect, can I be honest with you for a sec? Okay. So as you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and typically most of the people I speak with are hellbent on fixing this problem because they realize that it's a very big issue. But based on our conversation so far, I'm just not getting that sense from you. Am I completely off base? And that's all I'm going to say. So I put it back out there. And now that person's going to be like, well, yeah, you're kind of right. It's not that big of a deal. Huh, how so? Why did you book this call with me today? Or they're going to say, no, this is a fucking major problem. I got to solve this now. How so? Tell me more. Why not just keep doing what you're doing and push this down the road like a lot of unhealthy, overweight people do? Why not do, and this is where it starts to get interesting, okay? So number one is you challenge/push people away. You don't tell them you can help them, they can do this. You don't do the rah-rah stuff. You push them away. You challenge them, not from a place of being arrogant and abrasive. The tonality is like, I'm just a little bit confused here because I'm just not getting the sense this is that important to you. I mean, am I completely off base? Right? So how I say that is important. How they receive that obviously is going to be based on the tonality that I use. So we have to get the prospect moved. They have to be moved. Otherwise, they're not going to want to change. So when someone comes into a call with you, recognize that they have a problem. Your job is to give them a bigger problem. So if they think that they're 100 pounds overweight, it's a problem, but it's not that big of a deal. Your goal in the conversation is to stretch the gap to help them see that this is not okay. This is not okay. And whatever leverage you have to use there, maybe it's their kids, what kind of role model, like, do you think that this is a healthy role model for your kids to model? No. Like, do you really think your kids are going to grow up healthy and fit if their mom or dad is 100 pounds overweight? I mean, isn't that worth it enough? Like, isn't that alone worth it to do something about this now? So you have to find the leverage points of what's going to move someone into action, what's going to get someone to feel the pain of their current situation, no matter how good they think it is. So another way to look at this is through self-identity. I love selling through self-identity because it is the ultimate foundation upon which people take action. If you see yourself as, I was just having this conversation before I started recording this, with one of our clients who helps people with type 2 diabetes. And he recognized that people that show up on the call who recently got diagnosed were better clients or eventual clients, they actually wanted to do something about it, than those who've had it for 10 plus years. Because they were shocked and devastated by the diagnosis versus those who've had it for 10 plus years are hopeless and full of despair. See the difference there? So if you're hopeless and full of despair, that is a certain self-identity you now have. This is me, I can't change, etc. Do you think that is going to impact your behavior? 1,000,000%. Now, if you're shocked, devastated, maybe even angry, do you think you can use that as fuel to take action and fix this once and for all? You better believe it. I think anger is an amazing emotion to use temporarily to move you into action. But hopelessness is a very bad place to live. Okay? So I'll give you an example of some of the situations that I personally see on the business front. Is someone comes in and we'll ask them like where they want to be in their business, how things are at right now. And, you know, they might be like, typically they're doing a little bit less than 10K per month. And when I hear somebody say that, I'm like, how do you live? How do you live on that? Because it's not personal take home. That's business revenue, right? Now, depending on where your business is at, there's different expenses and taxation, you know, all that kind of stuff. But business revenue, like how do you pay for the kids, for food, for the mortgage, for your car, for travel, for future plans, for anything you want to do in life? And so part of what I want to do in these conversations is I want to help someone understand that the minimum that they're currently at. So where they're at is what I would call their abundance thermostat. So this is kind of the abundance thermostat. And this can apply, when I say abundance, I mean money, health, all the good stuff, okay? So if your thermostat, wherever you're, we all have a thermostat, maximum and minimum settings. When the minimums hit, it kicks on. When the maximums hit, you know, we kind of stay there. The maximum is what you believe is possible for you. The minimum is what you're willing to tolerate. So if someone is making $7K a month and they've been there consistently, that tells me that that is their minimum. That is what they're willing to tolerate. If it dips under five, they'll be like, fuck this, let's go. I'm going to take action no matter what. Then they get back up to seven, they're comfortable again. And so my job is to help them see that this floor of 7K in this example is not okay. I want to raise that minimum as high as possible so they don't even leave the conversation with me thinking anything other than 25, 30, 50, whatever per month is even normal. And it's not about the money. Please understand, I'm just using this as an example, right? Think about it from the perspective of your clients. The number of migraine headaches, the minimum, right? Someone who's been suffering with daily migraines for years, their minimum, what they're willing to tolerate is a daily migraine. Maximum, what's possible? No migraines. So our goal is to help them see that this floor is not okay. In what world do you think it is normal for the human body to experience migraines on a daily basis? Why are you tolerating this? Raise the floor. Get them to at least believe that once every other day is manageable, is doable, is a worthy goal to work towards.
Hey, hope you're enjoying the show so far. Just popping in real quick to let you know that I am on Instagram. If we're not connected yet on the good old IG, hit me up. I'm at Healthpreneur, not any of the other fake accounts, but just at Healthpreneur. Be sure to follow me on Instagram and send me a DM, letting me know how you like the show or really anything else you need help with to grow your virtual health practice or coaching business online. So once again, that's at Healthpreneur on Instagram. In the meantime, let's get back to the show.
So when I'm talking with people in business, I don't care where people are at because they're nowhere near where they could be. And if people are talking about their potential and how growth is so important to them, I'm like, doesn't it just eat you up inside that you're nowhere even close to that? I understand that life is good. Things are pretty good. But it's got to eat you up inside knowing that you're playing this small compared to how big you could be. And when you think of this, think of another way to look at this is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? The pyramid, then seven stages or so. So at the bottom, we have like food, safety, shelter, right? The basics. And if I think of this, I'll just use the example of business, right? So for people that in business do okay and they meet the basics, that's a very dangerous place to live for some people. Because for some people, that's 10K a month. Their spouse works, they have no debt. It's all gravy. And then for other people, they would jump off a bridge if they were making 10K per month because their needs at the bottom are much higher, right? So it's all relative. What I'm saying is when you get to the point where things are comfortable, like you've got the basics taken care of, you're comfortable, there's another level. And I don't know if everyone is that kind of like, if everyone has the same ambition for this, but I think a lot of people do, at least for entrepreneurs, is we value growth. We value growth. And that means we value taking on challenges and becoming the best we can possibly be. So when you're speaking to someone who is a growth-oriented individual, and they have things kind of in place, they've got the basics, things are okay, it's we challenge the self-identity. Man, that version of you that you talked about, what, like, how would they feel about how you're currently showing up? What would that version of you tell yourself in this situation? What would that version of you do now? We're making decisions from the future version of ourselves that we want to become. We can't get to where we want to go making decisions from the current or previous version of ourselves. That's only going to get us back to where we are. So I love challenging self-identity because it's the best way, I think, for people that have things doing okay, get to the next level. So for someone who's like, I really want to reach my potential, but there's not enough pain in their current situation and do anything about it, I dig the knife into you're not even close to what you're capable of. Doesn't that just fucking kill you? I mean, my personal biggest fear is getting to the end of my life and my higher self is talking to my current self and is like, hey man, like you barely scratched the surface. You slept in, you were lazy, you didn't get stuff done, you didn't spend time with the ones you love the most. I'd be like, fuck me, right? This is the knife we want to dig to growth-oriented individuals who say that becoming a better version of themselves, aside from the money or the weight loss or whatever, is important to them. Because the big growth driver, and this is very true for me, I don't care about the money I make. I mean, I love making money. It's awesome. But it's not the money. It's who I get to become in the process. So when I say Healthpreneur is en route to becoming a billion-dollar brand, I don't need $1 billion. I don't even know if I want $1 billion. I'm like, I shouldn't say that. Sure, like there's a lot of cool stuff you can do. But what drives me the most is who I get to become, the fullest version of me, and we're closer to that in the process. It's very similar to a lot of our clients, I shouldn't say a lot, but enough of our clients work with people who have it all and feel empty inside. And if you serve these types of people, this is the conversation you're going to have. Like, how much longer do you want to settle for that? How much longer is it okay for you to tolerate this feeling, this sense of boredom, this sense of like you're going through the motions and you want to fucking put a fork in your eye every day? Are you going to sit here and take that? Isn't making this change worth the future version of you, the life you want to create to become the fullest, most expressed version of yourself? That's the conversation I want to encourage you to have with your prospects, especially those that are further along and have some of the stuff figured out and that seem to be doing okay, but they're not quite there. Because remember, why would they be speaking with you if they were satisfied where they are? Even if they say they are, they still took the time to at least have a conversation, which tells you there's some degree of interest, right? Like if we're hiring for a new position, I don't necessarily want to hire people who are looking for a job. I want to go find people who are currently working and employed and poach them. And in the conversation with them, I'm going to ask them, so, I mean, you have a job, things are good. Why are you entertaining this conversation right now? Because there's always a reason. Well, you know, I'm starting to put feelers out there because I'm not really seeing eye to eye with the founder, or we have different visions for where we want to go, or I'm not seeing the growth here. There is always a reason people are speaking with you. And your goal is to help them express, and maybe for you to impose or help them see a higher standard for themselves. I had a conversation with a client the other day who is awesome, right? She, like, this person is doing very well, and I can sense that they were comfortable. And I asked, and I said, what do you want to have happen by the end of the year? Like, where do you want to be? And you'll notice that this conversation on the coaching side is very similar to the front-end sales conversation. And this person said, well, you know, like, you know, my time with my family is really important, and I, you know, I'm happy with the revenue I'm making, and you know, we've got no debt and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, so this is the scenario where someone gets and they coast, right? And they chill. And then there's less juice, there's less energy, there's less drive. And so I said, what's like, is there anything that's exciting you? Like get that like you'd want to create, that you want to have, that you want to experience, something that really is be like a bucket list type of thing. And they told me something, and I'm just kind of sharing it, you know, somewhat obscure here just to remain somewhat anonymous because they could be listening or watching this. And I said, that's amazing. And I could see this person's eyes light up. And I'm like, this is great. And I was like, well, what would it cost to make that happen? And they told me, and it was very, very achievable. And so here's the cool thing is I said, well, why don't we reverse engineer how to make that happen? And so we looked at their critical numbers. We looked at how to reverse engineer the amount of revenue that would have to come in to make this dream a reality. And what I was doing there was I was stretching their vision. Because remember, and I've shared this before, is if you think of the word intention, if you have a rubber band, and I wish I had one, maybe I'll just use this as an example. This is the remote for my walking desk treadmill. So if you have a rubber band and you stretch, if I stretch this, there's a little bit of tension. But if I really stretch this, there's more tension. And if I let go, what happens? It snaps back with more force. So when you set an intention that is bigger, there is more tension. And if there's more tension, then there is more energy. There's more potential energy. If we're thinking about physics, right? Potential and kinetic energy. There's more potential energy stored in that vision, in that tension. And every day that goes by, that you are not where you want to be makes you feel uncomfortable. And so you move toward that, right? The universe is always looking for the path of least resistance. So the path of least resistance is to shorten the path to get where you want to go. But if you have a small intention, if you only have a small vision, well, there's not as much juice there. There's not as much energy. And therefore, why should I change? Because either the current situation right now is okay, or I don't have a big enough vision for myself. So what I want to do is two things, at least one of them, is I want to help you recognize that your current situation is not okay. It is not okay to be making 10K a month. It is not okay to be 100 pounds overweight. It is not okay to have migraines every single day. And I want to stretch your vision for what you think is possible. And in a way that you think that can be possible. So it's not even possible that it becomes probable for you. Because now what we're doing is we're making the pain of your current situation greater, and we're increasing the runway, the vision you have. And both of those create more of a gap. They create more tension, more energy. And this is what's required to actually do anything. At the start of this video, I said the biggest competitor you are facing is complacency. Is I could do a lot of different things. Why should I choose you compared to all these other options, which includes doing nothing, Complacency, apathy, that's the biggest competition you're facing. And it's something that is insidious in all of our prospects' minds because we live in a world, the Western world, where things are okay. But this is not about okay. This is called hashtag winning, hashtag greatness, hashtag fullest potential, whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing. It's we don't coast, we don't plateau, we don't chill. I don't care if you're making $1 million a day. I will continually challenge you to go more, to go bigger. And it's not about chasing the shit. It's not about like, when is enough enough? It is never enough. It's never enough because you are an abundant being and you are here to grow. You are here to flourish and become the biggest possible version of yourself, metaphorically speaking, obviously not weight-wise. So when is enough enough? It's never enough. And I'm not talking about necessarily money. Because it could be, well, what are we, when we say is when we say enough, like I'm not talking about buying more cars, buying more houses, buying more watches. What if enough was growth, personal growth, the ability to lean into challenges and have hard conversations? When is enough enough? Well, is there like, I mean, why even put a cap on it? So I want you to leave this conversation hopefully understanding two things. One, no matter where you are, you personally, it's not enough. It's not okay. Raise your standards. Raise your standards. And this also goes to me, right? This applies to me as well. I'm not just like some dude sitting on a soapbox. I need to raise my standards, okay? And I remind myself of this. And by creating content like this, it also keeps me accountable to living in this fashion. And keep growing for more, becoming more. The more you become, the more you can share. The more you share, the more everyone else wins. So if you want to impact people's lives and shine your light, you can't help a lot of people with your flashlight on dim, right? Shine it as bright as possible. Who gives a shit what people say? Well, you got, you know, too much money already. Fuck it. I'm going to have as much as I want so I can do whatever I want with it and help a lot of people and give back to charity and do all these cool things. Do not let other people who do not have what you want, who are not where you want to be, give you any advice that you are willing to take. Do not take advice from people who are not where you want to be. I don't listen to my parents for business advice. I don't listen to my parents for financial advice because I make way more money than they do, even when they were in their prime, right? So it's not that I don't love them, but I'm not going to take advice around my business or finances from people who are not where I want to be. I'm not going to take health or fitness advice from someone who's not in better shape than where I want to be. And so I implore you, surround yourself with people who are thinking bigger because you become a reflection. The key word is a reflection. You become a reflection of the standards of the people you surround yourself with most. And if you're surrounding yourself with people who are slobs, who are overweight, who are broke, who are negative Nancys, who have limiting beliefs, guess who else is going to start to adopt those? You are. And so it's always a choice. Who you spend your time with, the type of inputs you allow into your mind is going to determine your future. So where you are today is a reflection of all of that stuff up until now. And moving forward, one of the best ways to change your situation is to expose yourself to other situations or environments or circumstances that help you recognize how small you are playing. I don't know if you've experienced this before, but if you've ever purchased a couple different homes, you move into the new home, and then you go back to the previous home where you may have lived for many years, and automatically you're like, how on earth did we live there when previously that was your dream home? And this happens to us. This happened to me. The home we're currently in, we moved here about 4 years ago. We previously lived in what we thought was our dream home for 5 years. At the time, it was amazing. It was so good. And then we moved here. And I remember in the move, we went back a few times to grab some stuff. And every time we went back, I'm like, how did we do it? How do we live here? Even though it's a great house. And to be honest, this house, we might find the same down the road. I mean, like in the future. And that's okay. It's not about not being grateful. It's about understanding that you are expanding and you are growing, and put yourself in situations and environments that show you the beautiful abundance that this planet has to offer us. And I've talked about this many times, right? Stay in a nicer hotel, upgrade your flights, you know, do what you got to do. Like, obviously within the means that you have financially, and just understand that you deserve so much more. Don't settle for where you are, no matter where you are. Okay. So anyways, I hope this conversation hits home with you in some way, shape, or form. If it does, you know the drill. Let me know in the comments below what you love most. While you're here, hit the subscribe button, because I've got tons of other videos to help you become a better version of yourself, grow an amazing health business online. And most importantly, we're dropping 2 new videos a week to help you with those very things. You don't want to miss any of the stuff I've got coming your way. So hit the subscribe button, and I look forward to seeing you in the next video.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me in today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have, here's what I'd love for you to do next, is if you're not already subscribed to The Healthpreneur Show, go ahead and hit that button wherever you're listening to this to make sure you do not miss a single episode coming your way. And while you're at it, why not leave a rating or review? It would mean a lot to me. And here's why. Because I lay in bed awake at night wondering, are you enjoying this show? Do you get a lot of value out of this? And I never really know until I hear from you. All kidding aside, I would really appreciate a rating or review, because as you know, the more people know about this show, the more people we can help, and your ratings and reviews make a huge difference. So thanks for hanging out with me once again, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.